fourth and final hour here on this Wednesday afternoon. Darren, Donnick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game, a weekly chat with Chris Mason, former Predators goaltender, Willie's partner in the booth on the television side of things, Fox Sports Tennessee. C-Mace, what's up?
Not too much. Looking forward to chat with you guys again.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it as well, just like the Islanders are looking forward to a Game 6. They kept their season alive last night in double overtime.
Yeah, it's they will not go away. And, you know, it's one of those – that's one of those teams that I honestly thought they'd be done just the way the series was going. But you can never count them out, and you can never count out a Barry Trotz team, and they seem to find a way to pour out there in overtime, so good on them.
Yeah, you knew Barry Trotz and his team was not going to go away quietly. I still think they've got an uphill climb, but still, you got to love the tenacity of the Islanders and trying to keep this alive and see if they can keep Tampa from punching their ticket in the Stanley Cup final to take on Dallas.
Yeah, you never know. And that's the thing is, you know, this year, like you mentioned Dallas too. Like, you know, who would have thought? I thought they were going to be done in the first round. They were terrible in the play-in series. I know they didn't have to do a play-in. They did their round robin thing, but they didn't look good at all. Goaltending issues, just sloppy, you know, all the above. And they find a way to just keep winning and winning. And the way that they play, and they seem to have gotten better as the playoffs went on. And, you know, I thought Vegas was going to steamroll them the way that they were playing. They looked like they're unbeatable. But when you come off of, you know, a couple easy series, and then you run to a team like Dallas who they didn't give up anything. And then when they do, they get, you know, you have Anton Hudobin, which was an amazing storyline for them, just playing out of his mind. And it's just, you know, the team, and you always talk about timing and finding your game at the right time. The Stars certainly did that. And I look at, at Jamie Benn, something they said, there's a little montage. He's like, these guys have had a couple easy series, referring to Vegas. He said, but they haven't played anybody like us. And I think that's exactly what happened. They didn't play anybody like them that was as defensively sound and that same kind of heavy, that big heavy game that Dallas plays. And if you play like that and you're able to chip in a few goals here and there, they didn't score many, but they didn't have to because they didn't give up anything. So as much as our fans probably hate the fact that Dallas is in the Cup final, I'll tell you what, they really earned it.
Yep. Looking at our three picks, or our picks, the three of us, let's see. I took Calgary. This is in round one. Willie took Calgary. Chase took Calgary. The three of us took the Flames.
I did too. Yeah. I thought they'd be rolling. I mean, the Flames, you look at what they did with Winnipeg and the way that they were, you know, that the way that they were going and the way that Dallas looked, that was, to me, it was like at that time it was a no-brainer. But, you know, they put it together. And, you know, it's funny. They're just scratching and clawing. They found a way to get through that one. Found a way. They got a little bit of fortune there with Colorado, I think, with the goaltending situation, the injuries that they had, but not any fault of theirs. They battled through there and then, you know, did a number on Vegas, and they're playing really well right now. And now they get a little break. So it's been good.
There were two guys on that Stars roster, Chris, that we talked about on this show many times that offseason on. Anybody think that this is a guy, or these are guys that David Poile and the Predators should go after? And of course, I'm talking about Pavelski and Perry. We talked about both of those guys. You know, is this a potential landing? Should they be looking at these guys? Well, they both went to Dallas. What have they meant to that Stars roster?
Well, I think it's that element. Obviously, their best hockey playing days are probably past them. But what they bring is they bring that leadership, they bring experience, they bring accountability. They've been there, they've done that. They also bring, the level of grit to your hockey team, because you know when they're on the ice, when Corey Perry's on the ice, and our fans probably hate him more than almost anybody in the entire league. But you know, and as an opponent, like we talked about Matthew Tkachuk, that you're going to have to be ready. You're going to have to keep your head up every time that there's your goaltender covers the puck in front of your own net. He's going to be around there. He's going to be in your face. He's going to hit you. He plays, you know, he walks a fine line. the way that he plays the game, and that keeps the opposition on your toes. I mean, we saw the hit with Ryan Ulse, and he'll fight. He'll, you know, he'll back it up. He's not a coward. He does play dirty, and he plays tough. And you know, Pavelski plays the game a little cleaner, but he also plays it tough. He's one of those guys that is super successful around the net because he's willing to go there. He's willing to go to pay the price. And again, when you play a guy like Pavelski, you know every time that he's on the ice that you're going to have a battle in front of the net. If that puck gets around and if you leave his stick loose and you decide to try to take the body on him, well, he can make you pay. And I just think having guys like that that have been around, that play that gritty style, in-your-face kind of hockey, I just think having them on your team makes everybody else play a little more like that and gives them a little more space, but it also keeps the opponents keeps them on their toes because they have to be aware of those guys, and they know that every time they're out there, they're going to be in for some sort of altercation.
Saw you out at Vanderbilt Legends Club on Monday for Brent Peterson's wonderful golf tournament to raise money for Parkinson's disease. How did you hit? Who were you teamed up with? Give us the deets.
Well, my role was to schmooze. So I was going around and saying hi to the sponsors and not shaking hands, but not kissing babies or any of that kind of thing. but you know what I'm talking about. I was out there just saying hi and making sure everybody was having a good time. I actually went on the range there with Skillsy and Willie, and they're trying to teach me. I'm not a big golfer.
Okay. Okay.
So I took a got the old wrenches out there and try to crank a few straight to the right.
Well, there's no shame in that.
It rubbed off on me because I hit some of the worst slices of all time. I mean, you wouldn't believe how quick I bended these things. I hit some fairways, like two fairways over.
Yeah, yours was. I think mine were actually better than yours. And then, you know, of course, Skillsy, he's bent, crouched down, like, in this stupid idiot stance, and then he swings and he hits one perfectly right down the middle. He's just messing around. So it was fun though. It's actually a perfect day. If I were to have golfed, the weather's actually beautiful. So, and I guess they did. It was nice to see everybody too. That was really cool to see everybody in the office. People we haven't seen for months, and you could see everybody was kind of. It was just really nice to, obviously for Petey who we love and. He does such a good job with that tournament, one of the best guys around for sure. And, you know, just to be around, you know, your friends and people you consider family again was really cool.
We were sitting on, because we started on hole three, so we had to finish up with one and two. Or no, this, I guess this was at 10, and then I want to say that's 18 down there. So we were at 10 tee box, and I'm sitting there and we're kind of waiting. And I just happened to look over at the group that was on the green down below. I guess that would have been 18, and I'm looking, there's a guy with a hat on, and he's got lots of hair, you know, not Scott Hartnell type of hair, not like that much hair, but just lots of hair. And I'm looking, and all of a sudden he starts waving at me, and I'm looking a little bit more, and I'm like, oh, that's Roman. And I didn't, it was hard because like he's let his hair grow out a lot, and
he's got a flow.
He's got a flow going on. It looks good. But I just did the motion of a belly and gave him the thumbs up, and he started laughing. You know, obviously to him, his wife, they're expecting their first. But I'll tell you what, I saw a couple swings by him, and I got to be honest, I didn't see where they landed. But just watching his form, I think the captain can swing it on the golf course. That's all I saw was just a couple swings. I didn't see where it went, but it looked good. Do you know anything about his game?
I don't know any of, you know, I was telling William, I honestly haven't golfed my own round since my oldest daughter was born.
I've done really?
A couple of the, yeah, I gave it up. I couldn't justify just, I don't know. It was just such a long day and we just had our baby. And so I just kind of, I was never really good anyway, but I used to golf, but now I don't. So I don't know anything about any, but you know, Roman seems like one of those guys that just like he gets the puck behind the net and he just, oh, you know what? I'm just going to skate through five guys. Maybe I'll skate through this guy just one more time just for the heck of it. And this makes it look so easy. So it wouldn't surprise me one bit if he was a heck of a golfer. He's one of those guys, you know?
It's not fair, right? It's not fair.
He's one of those guys that he can look at a golf club and automatically know know how to play, and just it pisses you off because you know you have to work at it, and he just can do anything perfectly.
Plus, he has Ricola, a lifetime stash of that, and I think that gives him a substance advantage there until they ban that in North America.
Mace, how crazy is it that Peter Laviolette and Barry Trotz, starting next year when Peter Laviolette takes the bench for the first time for the Capitals, both those guys have coached the Predators, the Capitals, and the Islanders. I didn't even think about the Islanders when because Lavi started with the Islanders, but when he first got the job, I'm thinking, wow, so Barry Trotz and Peter Laviolette, Preds, Caps. But I didn't even think about New York, but that's an odd thing. But I think we all would believe that Peter Laviolette can do what he's done many times before and jump in there and make a big impact.
Oh, there's no doubt. If you walk into a team like that with the talent, and especially the, you know, obviously a Stanley Cup here a few years ago, and kind of their journey as an organization, much about Reardon, you have the, you know, credentials that he's going to go where, and he's these guys, and you know, he's that kind of guy that can go into a situation like he did here, and he really just gets the attention of his team. He just gets them to buy in. He's so passionate. You know, I read an article on him where he did a lot of reflecting over the last few months after he got let go here, both system-wise and just different types of things. I know he was going to coach the World Championships. Obviously, that didn't happen with the whole lockdown and the quarantine thing, but you know, this is a situation where he's walking into a, you know, a Rolls Royce of a team. I know they have to sign Braden Holtby or find a goalie now. I know he's a free agent this year. I don't know if they'll get that done before free agency, but we're walking into a team that's ready to go and that's ready to win. And I think with the way that he can just grip a team and kind of galvanize them and get everybody to buy into that message, much like Trotsky, different than Trotsky, but the same sort of, he's got that same sort of effect on his players. I think that's a great, good relationship, the perfect fit for Labby to go in. I think he's going to have a lot of success in Washington.
What are your thoughts on the goaltending situation going forward with Vegas, with what they did, acquiring Robin Leonard, as you would think more of just an insurance policy? But then Leonard takes the reins and plays all of the key games. Marc-Andre Fleury has been sort of a heart and soul guy for them, not getting any younger. And it's Leonard that goes to free agency now. I think that's one that's going to be interesting to see how they handle that.
It really will. I was actually, you know, I was talking to Jim McKenzie, Willie. We saw him the other night there. I was asking him that exact same question, and he said, it's going to be a tough one because Vegas is, they're right up against the cap. So they don't have a ton of room there to sign players, especially, you know, one that's going to probably command a pretty high salary with the way that he's played over the last 3 or 4 years. He's been one of the top guys statistically in the NHL. So I really don't know what's going to happen there. There's probably moves that are going to have to be made if Vegas wants him. But there's a lot of goalies out there. There's Markstrom from Vancouver had a really good year. Leonard, who you mentioned. And then Braden Holtby, if he ends up getting to free agency. So there's those are, and Corey Crawford, another guy. I think he's a free agent too. I know he's been hurt and he's got some injury problems and all that, but a guy that's played a lot of good hockey, got some Stanley Cups. So it'll be very interesting in the goalie market what happens. I know I'm probably forgetting a couple guys, but there's some high-end guys out there.
With that in mind, what about St. Louis? You know that organization pretty well. They've got some difficult decisions with the salary cap, and Alex Pietrangelo is still sitting there and not signed. He's one of those guys that you would have just thought for sure they'll find a way, but it's still out there. I still feel like they'll figure it out, but to do that, I wonder what they'll have to move around to make it happen.
Yeah, you know, I thought maybe that the first step in that, and maybe this was doing it for him too, is when they moved Jake Allen to Montreal. I thought that, you know, took some pretty decent dollars off the books to maybe try to do that. But from the, you know, the latest I've heard on that situation is they're still, you know, quite a bit apart in terms of the dollar amount. So I think, you know, if Pietrangelo wants to stay in St. Louis, like a lot of players do, if that's where he's made his roots. And, you know, he's going to probably be more willing to take a little bit under market value of what he could get if he went free agency, because I know somebody like the Toronto Maple Leafs would probably try to scoop him up in a second. And someone like that will give him, you know, top dollar or whatever he's asking for because he's that valuable. But if it's the case that I think St. Louis has to get a little closer to his number before he decides to accept that. But I think, you know, moving Jake Allen, and, you know, teams are going to have to get creative because if they want to keep guys, especially, you know, you're going to lose your captain. That's a huge loss, and that's not a necessarily an easy thing to recover from. So it's more than just the type of player he is. He's their captain and their Stanley Cup winning captain.
Chris Mason is with us, Predators analyst, joins us every Wednesday at 1 o'clock. So on Friday, Mace, we had our first chance to talk to Dan Hinote, new Predators assistant coach, and he said that had a lot of nice things to say about you, but then also said that we, you know, things you say about him, we need to double check with him. So he was he was joking around. I know you guys played together in St. Louis. But going back to something on Peter Laviolette, that I read in Adam's article in The Athletic today, that when he first got here, he had a young group that he could mold and he could kind of have that rah-rah, that fire, and get that out of those guys. Do you think that Dan can bring some of that as an assistant coach with some of these young players that we're going to see on the team this year?
I have all the faith in the world in Dan Hinote. I play with him. I know what kind of person he is, what kind of player, what kind of teammate. And he's a guy that, like, just flat out, you want him on your team and you want him on your coaching staff. And I really think with his personality, the guys are going to love him. He's one of those guys that's everybody's favorite teammate. He's funny. He keeps things light. He's got a good pulse on what the situation should be when it's time to get serious. The guy will has played through, I can't even believe the pain and the injuries that he's played through. He would do anything. He puts his body on the line. He's just the ultimate teammate in terms of who you want to have on your team, because he gives every single bit of everything that he has during the game and in practice. And he's got that infectious personality. He's funny. He's witty. I think the guys are going to really be able to relate to him and respect him. And especially, you know, not a lot of people are able to, I find, you know, bring humor and have the balance of also putting their foot down and getting serious when the time's right. I think that's a very rare skill and characteristic to have, but he seems to be able to, or seems to have mastered that. I think this is exactly the type of personality that they need inside that room. And I think it really helps balance out the coaching staff in terms of their personality and the way that they approach the game. I think that was a great hire by the Preds to bring him in. I really don't, obviously you could tell I kind of like the guy. So, yeah, but it's honestly, I think it was an awesome move. And, you know, along the lines of kind of what they need more of with their team as well, as that type of player.
So follow me on this with how I word this question, but why is it guys like Dan Hinote, Brent Peterson is a prime example, that they played the game, played for a long time. They weren't the superstar. They were just, like you were kind of describing, they were the gritty guy in the room that was going to go in the tough areas and do the work. Why do they make such effective coaches?
I think because everything that they've got, and I'm not saying other people don't, but they've worked for and they've really committed and given everything that they have inside to do that. And I think, you know, when you're the ultimate teammate, you know, that type of a player, you're willing to do those things for your team so the best players on your team can succeed. So that your job are those things that you take pride in it. You take pride. I talked to Hal Gillen about how much he takes pride in, you know, you look at all, you know, Sidney Crosby and all the goal scorers and the playmakers and the beautiful plays that they make, and you know, they're on the highlights all the time. But talk to a guy like Hal Gill, the pride that he takes in blocking a shot, or Dan Hinote when he was on the penalty kill. You know, every time that he'd go on the ice, it would be, you know, he'd look at each other and he just really galvanized that group to say, guys, we're never getting scored on. You go on the ice and you look at each other. And I remember we had such a great penalty kill, and it was because of guys like him that were willing to do that. And I think when you play that way and you – and your teammates know that you are giving absolutely everything that you have and there's no question of a doubt, you're respected. And that was the way that he was. That was the way he played in practice. That was the way he played every single game. And you talk about respect having to be earned. Well, those players earn their respect. And it's not just given because you can score goals or you have talent or, you know, you're one of the best hockey players in terms of putting up statistics. It's because everything that you do and every bit of success that you have, it's earned. And I think that, especially with Dan, is a special guy because he's got such a great sense of humor. He's a really good communicator. I think as it's one thing to be that type of a player, but I know from going from playing to coaching, the ability to communicate to your players is probably your most important characteristic, and I think he has that in spades. So I just think that he's a guy that'll be well respected within the coaching staff and by the players as well.
Does Tampa punch their ticket into the Stanley Cup Final versus Dallas tomorrow night, or does Barry Trotz and company push it to seven?
Oh, I don't know. You can't count out the Islanders because they could shut you down. But I just think Tampa's too good, and I think Vasilevskiy is he's the best goalie in the league right now. And I think if Tampa is able to play their game or play to 90%, that I think they punch their ticket. But again, those pesky Islanders, you never know. But I'm saying Tampa punches through.
Yeah.
It's going to be Dallas Tampa.
I think I'm with you on that. Hey, good stuff. As always, really appreciate it. Have a great rest of your week, and we'll talk next week.
All right. Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Chris Mason, we always enjoy our weekly chats on Wednesdays at 1 o'clock with him, talking all things hockey. It looks like there has been a decision made on people in Nissan Stadium. We'll talk about that on the other side. There is a Titans game on Sunday. What does that mean? We'll tell you. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.